This is the Speak for Yourself podcast featuring the best of Colin Cowherd and Jason Whitlock. I'm your excited host, Jason McIntyre. Folks, I was out sick Thursday. I'm back. And oh my gosh, is the NBA better than ever? What a show to start the week. Cowherd says, Paul George would be the best player that LeBron ever played with. Colin, did you forget about Dwayne Wade? Whitlock shares his thoughts on Colin Kaepernick's tweet to prove he has given up on being a football player. It's a powerful segment. You're definitely going to want to check that out. Fox Sports NBA analyst Chris Broussard breaks down why the Celtics made a great move in getting rid of the number one pick. Plus, former Super Bowl champ Eric Davis tells us why Tom Brady shouldn't and will not say anything publicly about his alleged concussion issue. Let's just say we agree significantly on that. Finally, will the Lakers actually pass on Lonzo Ball? All that next on Speak for Yourself. Cowherd and Whitlock, take it away.
All right, welcome to the show. I'm Jason Whitlock, and I'll tell you why Colin Kaepernick just proved he doesn't care about playing in the NFL.
And I'm Colin Cowherd, and I'll tell you why Paul George would make the Cavs a threat to beat the Warriors. Speak for Yourself starts right now.
Paul George.
Love me.
Dishonorable. Stick with the Pacers. You got a pair. Hello and welcome. We're joined today by Fox NBA analyst Chris Broussard and Super Bowl champ Eric Davis. Let's start in my home state of Indiana, where, according to Adrian Wojnarowski, Paul George has told the Pacers he plans to leave after this season in hopes of signing with the Lakers. Naturally, the Pacers immediately started shopping George around, including to the Cleveland Cavaliers, who would probably have to give up Kevin Love to get him. Cowherd, would replacing Kevin Love with Paul George make the Cavs a serious threat to the Warriors?
Oh, absolutely. Best player LeBron's played with. D-Wade was out of his prime. Kyrie doesn't guard anybody. I get a 6'9", long wing, plays both ends, can spot up, shoot, can take the ball over, can ball handle. He's not Kevin Durant, but he's got some of those skills where he's just, remember this. We grew up, 6'9", was a forward. He didn't dribble the ball. He's a 6'9 guy. By the way, LeBron now can go to the bench for 4 minutes. He can actually rest. He helps them in their substituting. He helps them defensively. He gives them more dexterity offensively. Come on now, you're talking Kyrie, LeBron, and Paul George. Those are three of the top 10 players, 12 players in the league.
I want to smite you right now.
Are you kidding me?
Behalf, are you okay?
On behalf of Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, and Kyrie Irving, I want to smite you right now. Listen, and I'm a Pacer fan. Paul George, there's some good things to like about him, but he ain't what you're making him out to be. And so, listen, would it go six now? Yes, it'll go six.
Paul George is a great player, and he's better than Chris Bosh. And you're right, Wade was kind of breaking down at that point.
Well, the first 2 years, Wade was missing playoff games regularly. He couldn't play back-to-backs anymore.
Here's the thing with Paul George, too. Cleveland is not selling him on come here and be Kevin Love or be Chris Bosh and stand out by the three-point line.
That's right.
LeBron is like, look, it's the three of us. It's not just going to be me and Kyrie and you pick up the scraps. The three of us, you're going to be able to get yours. It's all about winning. And they are confident that if they get him, it won't be a rental. Because they're like, look, you're going to be in the locker room with LeBron for a year. He's a great leader. We're going to go to the finals. We're either winning it or we're losing in a tough six or seven. Are you leaving that to go to the Lakers in the lottery? I mean, think about that. If you're Paul George, that's not a good look.
You've been to Cleveland now.
But you live in L.A. in the offseason.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, and both of you guys touched on his ability and everything, but that's exactly where I was going. This is he doesn't have to be Bosh. He doesn't have to be Love when he comes in there. He'll still be able to play his game. His game adapts to what LeBron is doing and what that team needs. I think it'll be a really good fit for him, and it'll help.
They're going to be shocked.
You don't think he's as good as advertised?
When they're going to be shocked when he puts it on the floor and the turnovers that he creates.
Oh.
He doesn't finish at the rim.
By the way,
he doesn't go to the hole as well as people think.
Okay.
That's okay.
We got LeBron and Kyrie.
Exactly. You're asking him to carry Indiana.
Exactly.
Now, look at the floor spacing. LeBron gets doubled. Kyrie creates spacing. Paul George is going to be in one-on-one situations in the Eastern Conference with guys that aren't at his level.
You know what? We could take this conversation right now, and we could go all the way back to the early 1980s, and it was the George McGinnis, Julius Erving, and oh, my God, how great this was going to be. And it was
a nightmare. They did reach the finals. They only reached the finals. and lost in six to Portland. Let's not act like it was a total disaster.
It only lasted 1 or 2 years.
But it was a different day and age, too. It was a different day and age. I mean, now teams are going smaller. You know, George would be great there. Just like Kevin Durant in Golden State. His looks are so much easier now.
Okay,
and
time out.
He's not, but his looks, now he's got 2 and 3 guys on him against Indiana. He'll have open shots.
Ask yourself this. Is Paul George as good as Kevin Love? Better.
Better.
Is Paul George as good as Chris Bosh? Better. Are you kidding me? And by the way, he's still got 3 to 4 years of good. How old is he?
If he was as good as y'all said he is, he'd stay in Indiana and get the thing turned
around. Well, hold on. Let's give him credit, too. A couple years ago, he led them to the Eastern Conference Finals.
With Roy Hibbert.
It's time to stop saying guys have to stay in one place to prove their worth.
Yeah, let's not act like he wasn't good. I mean, he led this team to 60 wins. They gave Miami all they wanted in the playoffs. I mean, he led them.
And you're just emotionally
scarred.
Take
off the blue and
go. It's okay. You're emotionally scarred. We see it.
All right. Well, another bomb dropped in the NBA this weekend. The Celtics and the 76ers swapping the first and third pick in Thursday's draft. Philly now takes over top spot, with Boston moving down to number 3 while getting a future first-round pick. Now, Jason, will Boston regret trading the top pick?
Look, if Markelle Fultz turns out to be Michael Jordan or something close to that, yes. But that's highly unlikely, in my opinion. To me, it's a brilliant move. I think Josh Jackson's going to be standing there at number 3, and I think there's a lot of people in NBA circles that think Josh Jackson is as good as any player in the draft. And so it's a crapshoot with these 19-year-old kids. And so you move down and get an extra draft pick later on, and you get to draft a guy who may be better than any of the other guys that go ahead of him.
I talked to a college basketball coach this weekend for 45 minutes who played against him, and I talked about all the guards. And this coach I talked to, Fultz was the one he played against, and he said he loved Lonzo, and he watched a lot of college basketball. And he said the thing about Fultz, he goes, I think he's good. He says, but there's like 8 guys that can play point guard in this draft. And he goes, I don't see a gap. He goes, so what Boston basically said is, if I can get more chess pieces and a similar styled athlete, I'd take it. And the knock on Fultz, and I talked to an NBA scout and this coach, and they said, yes, it's kind of like Andrew Wiggins. You look down, he's got 25 points, but he never took over the game. Fultz didn't take over his high school games. He didn't take over his college games.
I want to smite you again. Andrew Wiggins never won 9 games in a season in his life.
No, but I've seen Andrew Wiggins 3 times live. You look down, he's got 27. I don't remember any of them.
Look at the score.
I like Wiggins. Yeah, I'm with you on Wiggins. Wiggins is an impact player. But Fultz, you won 9 games. 9 games.
Not in the ACC.
Exactly, in the Pac-12. And in high school, your team was good, not great. Like, at some point, winning has to factor in. This is the deal with the Celtics. They like Josh Jackson or Jason Tatum just as much as Fultz. So they said, we could take one of those guys at 1, but we could get them at 3 and get another lottery pick for next year or the year after. So that's really what this is all about.
And it's really that simple. You just touched on it, because what they're doing, they're already ahead of schedule. The Celtics have been putting things in place, rebuilding this organization.
They're already at number 2 in the East.
And they will be able, will be able to put things together. So if they want to make a trade for that impact guy pretty soon, after what they're building, they'll be able to get it with all the pieces that they have down the road.
Also, the NBA, when I grew up, it was a center league. You had to have a Ewing. You had to have a big. You know, Russell, Kareem, Wilt. And then it moved into, it's kind of a wing league now. There's never been a time in my life outside of Magic Johnson where a point guard controlled the league. And so they got Avery Bradley. They got Isaiah Thomas. You know, part of Danny Ainge is, I'd like to have some length.
See, that's the thing. They have a lot of... Avery Bradley is really good.
Yes.
And that's the thing with, do they even go out and get Jimmy Butler? He's better than Avery Bradley or anybody they have. But still, Jaylen Brown was their number 3 pick last year. He barely got on the floor. So Fultz, unless you think, and Danny Ainge, unless he's looking at Fultz and saying, oh, he's coming in and making an impact right away, you're saying, here's another guard. We got Marcus Smart, too. Here's another guard we got to play. Yeah. So go get a 3-man in Jackson or Tatum.
Hey, listen, I'm just going to go back to reiterate the 9 wins, 13-game losing streak to end the season, and the ball is in your hand. And so to me, if I'm looking at that, does winning matter to this kid? Does the pain of losing bother this kid? Because I don't care, even if you are just a rental person in college for 6 months, there are guys that are hyper-competitive, just can't stand losing, and I just don't see that from this kid. So if I'm Boston, it's a smart move. Let it be Philadelphia's fool.
That's the interesting thing with Philadelphia. Now, Ben Simmons, I don't know what was the problem with Fultz at Washington. Ben Simmons, there were some teammates that were jealous of him, you know, coaching issues going on there. So some people gave him a pass.
Tournament.
But, yeah, he didn't win either. So you got two guys that didn't win. Embiid's never played in his life been healthy, you know, for a full season. It's going to be interesting, the process.
Welcome back. Eric Davis here, joined now by the founder of The Big Lead, Jason McIntyre. Let's move to the National Football League and Colin Kaepernick, who created a stir on Twitter this weekend after the police officer who killed Philando Castile was found not guilty of manslaughter. Kaepernick couldn't contain his feelings, tweeting, quote, "A system that perpetually condones the killing of people without consequence doesn't need to be revised. It needs to be dismantled." And as you see there, he included an image of a police badge alongside a runaway slave patrol badge. Whitlock, Kaepernick's been struggling to find a new team. Will this tweet further damage his chances of making an NFL roster?
Yeah, without question. Look, Mike Florio at Pro Football Talk has been one of Kaepernick's biggest media supporters. The light bulb finally came on in his head that, hey, what is Kaepernick doing? He's not helping himself. A lot of people were caping up for Kaepernick and trying to support him, and he's not helping them. This is the last thing he needed. If he's trying to get back into the NFL, bad move here.
I agree. Last Instagram post Kaepernick had about football was May 29th of 2015. I went and looked at his last 20 tweets and retweets. No football. I tell my kids this all the time. If you want to join a sport, you got to care before I care. Because I'm not driving you all over town if you don't care. So I want to see you come home and talk about it and think about it and eat the right diet for it. You got to care. If I'm looking and I'm a GM and I need a quarterback, I'm looking at him thinking, he doesn't seem to care a lot about football. Let's go to his Instagram. No, he doesn't seem to care a lot about football there. If you don't care, then I don't care. And a backup quarterback, a marginal talent position, I got to see some passion. Because I know I'm not getting Tom Brady the talent.
Eric, I'll let you take it before I jump in. I got the other side, guys, so I'll let me.
Oh, what? No, I think this is going to affect his ability to play the game. Because he's going to have to distance himself from this. This scares a lot of people because he's invoking some thoughts and images of some ugly things in an ugly part of our time. But if you understand where he was going, the police in this country were not initially formed to serve and protect. They were put in place to control minorities, be it slaves in the South, Native Americans in the Northeast and the Midwest. That's why a lot of that. So that's what he's invoking. But at least back then, the one deterrent that they had, even when if you talk about the Paddy Patrol that he put the image of the badge of, if the one deterrent that they had is that you couldn't beat the slaves. And you couldn't kill the slave, couldn't beat them to a point that they were useless because they were commodities that those slave owners had to have back, and you couldn't kill them. That was the one deterrent, and he's saying that today's police officers don't even have that. That's what he's doing. So, is that what he's doing? I'm with you guys. He is showing he's all in on what it is he's doing. If you want that in your locker room, that's who he is. I think it's going to make it difficult for
him. I would agree largely with everything you guys said, but I will say this. It's June. Come October, a starting quarterback goes down and somebody needs a backup. There's nobody on the market. It's Johnny Football. It's Colin Kaepernick. No GMs are going to say, hey, remember what he tweeted in June? I don't think that's going to be the case for a playoff contender. I'm not saying the Browns or the Jets. I'm saying the Cowboys. Somebody goes down. Aaron Rodgers, a situation where a playoff team needs a quarterback.
You're where I've always been on that it's going to be a team that needs a quarterback that
desperate.
Can play. They're desperate, and they have a chance to be in it. But it's going to have to be way down the line.
And
now, he's got to distance himself
keep
from
up.
This.
He cannot continue this.
I got to give you credit, because one of the things, Jason, you talked about, and you're right on this, and you've really been on the forefront of this, something's happening a lot now and in the world. And you have to be very careful about not going down rabbit holes and people you think are friends. People that are anonymous, that I don't know, on social media can become my biggest supporters and my biggest detractors. That's why I always say, I got tunnel vision. I'm a sportscaster, I just stay on my sports. Kaepernick, and you noted this early, suddenly had friends. He'd never met him. He didn't know him. They didn't necessarily have his best interests at heart. They had causes at heart. Well, unfortunately, he has embraced people who I don't think had his best interest. They had causes. And listen, it is when people show you love and affection and compliment you, and you all of a sudden become the face of something, it plays to your vanity. And Kaepernick, who had eroded as a quarterback, he wasn't a star quarterback, people play to his vanity. And this cause you're leading. And I think he's a young man, it played to his vanity, and he goes, but what we have now is a young guy who has just squandered. He has NFL ability.
He's jobless.
He is jobless.
And the most productive thing a black man can do is provide and work and be a provider. Now, it's great that he's for a cause. But again, there's no depth to this. I want to go back to Eric. You were talking about the whole slave catcher and what he's trying to allude to. And again, this thing is so popular what he tweeted out over Twitter, but there's no substance to it. Because any substantive analysis of it, who calls the police and who calls the slave catcher? This man has never lived in a black community, ever. He's never done business in the black community, ever. No.
Okay,
because again, we want to call the police slave. We want to analogize them to slave catchers. My father never left the black community, did business in the black community, and had relationships with the police to protect his black business. And so again, Kaepernick is so pro-black. He doesn't understand what black people in the black community are dealing with on a day-to-day basis. They need the police. Again, when my relative...
He's not saying that you don't need...
Whoa. But when you start analogizing someone to slave catchers, you know who calls slave catchers? Slave owners. Is my father... You know who calls the police? People in need. We just had policemen save the lives and take bullets for politicians in Washington, D.C.
No, absolutely.
And this ignorant...
But you can't... Not
quarterback is, at this time, when we just had black police officers take bullets for politicians, and this ignorant wants to compare them to slave catchers, it's stupid. There is a problem in America and the criminal justice system. He's not remotely getting at it. He's doing things that are popular over Twitter and really aren't in the best interest of black people who actually live in the black community, because those people in the inner cities are calling the police in need of help.
Do you think he's... Because I think he's playing...
To the crowd.
He's playing the social media, which even in our business, you and I talk about. 7% of my audience is on Twitter. I never play to Twitter. My audience is in the car driving to work.
And they hear,
right?
Yeah.
So I never play to Twitter. I've seen people in my business play to Twitter. And they're out of jobs,
disaster.
They struggle. And it's like, do you believe to some degree he's playing to the crowd on social media?
Maybe. But I also think that he is putting some information out there that is making some people think about some things. And even like this, and when I saw it, I was like, that's not good for him when I first looked at it. But now, looking at I see what he's trying to do. And that's the playing to the Twitter part of it. I see he's trying to say, just like you say, black people in communities need the police in certain communities more so than other communities.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying. You're saying he's never been in those communities.
No.
He's never lived in those communities.
Has.
I get what you're saying. You talk about the relationship your father had with those cops and how they helped him out. All of that is good. Those police officers that put their lives in front of, in harm's way just here recently, you hate for that to happen, but that right there is serving, protecting and serving. I get what you're saying. But also, a black man doesn't deserve to be shot in his car for no reason.
No one
and
thinks that.
That's what I think he's trying to get across. All I can do is look at that. He's trying to get across that aspect of things need to change and something needs to be done about it.
We got to wrap, but I just want Kaepernick, he don't know what he's talking about. I've lost a loved one to police misconduct. I don't have to speculate about it. To Tom Brady, who went all the way to China this weekend to celebrate his Super Bowl win, probably because he's still dodging the American media, Brady ducked reporters all last week during Patriots OTAs, avoiding questions about whether he had a concussion last season, as his wife Giselle claimed last month. Cowherd, should Tom Brady answer questions about the concussion rumors?
No. You answer questions about facts, not rumors and speculation. There is no fact that he had a concussion. Why would I prolong or continue a narrative that there's no fact?
The one started by his wife, right?
Okay, that, is she a doctor? What medical school did she go to?
I don't know.
She's written books. She wants to talk about global warming and concussions. Is she a meteorologist? Is she a surgeon? I'm not commenting on speculation as the greatest player in a league and a massive brand. I'm not continuing that narrative. I'm not talking about it. If you brought a report, I would answer it. But if you came to me...
You're just saying Giselle has no credibility.
I'm saying Giselle is a wife. My wife loves me.
Hello.
No, well,
therefore, she's not objective.
I'm gonna let you
know. No, this, you do not in any way touch this if you're Tom Brady. Because number one, I didn't have a concussion. There's nothing on the report. I'm not doing that. And now I have two choices. If I talk about this, you know what's gonna happen? Okay, you didn't have a concussion, so your wife is lying. She didn't see it correctly. She may have thought that. Well, then, did you have symptoms possibly? He's gonna go down a rabbit hole he can't get out of. Yeah. There's no way you touch this.
How did it work out for Tom Brady last time he dodged the NFL and the media about questions?
He won a Super Bowl.
Regarding Deflategate, I don't recall. The NFL came after him hard. You think the media is letting this go? They're not anywhere he goes from now until the beginning of the season. So, Tom, about the concussion, your
wife...
Who
cares?
They're going to ask him everywhere.
Yeah, who cares?
The media asks... You'll get nothing.
There's an easy solution. June 30th, right before the July 1st holiday break weekend. Hey, guys, any questions about the concussions? You know what July 1st is. NBA free agency starts, long holiday weekend. Just get it out now, because it's not going anywhere. It's going to come back in August.
The media has no power with the NFL. They think they do.
Except that the NFL puts the players in front of the media every single day.
And
right?
Tom Brady can elect to, before the season, not talk.
Well, here's where it falls apart for me a bit, Jason, where I agree with Colin. Football fans... do not care.
At all.
Do not care.
I don't care.
And so there's the social justice warrior class of media that hate football, that want to just... Every football discussion begins and ends with concussions, and they just want to keep the focus there. But Tom Brady, again, like Colin was talking about earlier, he's playing to his base, football fans. And they want him out on the football field. They think he's getting paid enough money that if he wants to risk his health... Good luck to you, brother. We're not going to throw any pity parties for you. You're married to Giselle. You've made a couple hundred million dollars in the NFL. If you want to risk your brain, that's on you. That's where the overwhelming majority of football
fans didn't care about Deflategate either. They didn't care one iota.
No,
and the NFL came after him hard.
No, because that fans who didn't know the game thought it was affecting outcomes.
Yes.
The bottom line, here's what Tom is. He's disciplined. Dude doesn't drink a beer during the season. He's disciplined. He's not saying anything. He and Belichick share a passion for winning football and a passion for not giving you any information they don't have to. Tom will avoid it. If he's asked a question, he'll say, I'm not going to talk about that. I've never had a concussion. It's over.
It's over.
And they'll hide him. They'll hide him from the press.
No, that works. But just say that. Why hide from the press? Why not just come out and say exactly what you just did?
Because I don't like the press.
What it would do, it would set off around, which it already has, of columns and of people chastising him, belittling him. Sometimes it's just better not to engage. If you don't trust the integrity, the agenda of the media, you're better off avoiding them. And again, I can't blame. I'm sitting here as a part of the media.
Someone who's had some issues with the media.
Yeah, they don't put things in context.
It's just too easy for this to just go wrong if he says anything, because you're talking about the integrity of the league with the Deflategate. That same issues can come into play with this. If he has concussions, he wasn't coming off the field. How did that affect games? Is it happening with other players? Just stay away from it. You're not on a report. Keep moving.
Welcome back. Chris Broussard, Jason McIntyre. Let's move to the NBA draft. What a draft this will be. Markelle Fultz is now pretty much locked in as the top pick, but the Lakers are still unsure what to do with the pick number 2. Lonzo Ball has made a major push for the Lakers to draft him, but reportedly the team hasn't made any promises to Lonzo, especially after his less-than-stellar workout. Two of them now. Jason, are you still confident the Lakers draft Lonzo Ball?
Listen, the thing I found interesting this weekend was the talk of the Lakers trying to get a second lottery pick, and they wanted perimeter defense and outside shooting. And that, to me, sounds like a team that's saying, whoo, Lonzo Ball is going to be a liability on defensive perimeter. We don't know about him getting his outside shot off with that funny release. And so we need to find a piece to complement him.
Yeah.
If they can't, they may move off Lonzo Ball. There are some holes in his game.
I think L.A. is very unique, is that it's not your typical sort of blue-collar sports town. It's got Hollywood beaches, perfect weather mountains. It's not just that you win, it's how you win in Los Angeles. That's why USC generally puts in Notre Dame and Texas in the out-of-conference schedule, because people won't go to the games, even if they're 12-0. The Lakers were Showtime. They have a brand. That's why Jeff Fisher doesn't work for the Rams. He not only loses, he's boring. I think Lonzo, his style is really good in this city. It feels big. It's the first time I ever remember in recent memory. I mean, Ben Howland won a lot at UCLA.
Yeah.
Nobody watched. He was interesting. You guys were going to games. NBA people would come into Fox. They're like, oh, I'm going to the UCLA game tonight. I think he's too good for business and good enough for basketball. I think you got to take him.
Yeah, I think they're taking him. I talked to a GM this morning. He said that he thinks some of these reports about the Lakers not being that interested or impressed with him, some of it was to put LeVar in his place.
Sure.
Like, look, you're not running this. You're not going to make us draft Lonzo and he's our leader we don't have and so on and so forth. Make him sweat a little bit, which they did. Him having a second workout, hearing he wasn't impressive, that made him sweat a little bit. I think that's what they wanted to do. I'm not saying he doesn't have some holes in his game. He does. But they're not going to be swayed by workouts. Anybody knowing basketball would know in a 1-on-0 workout, Lonzo Ball's not going to look that great.
Yeah.
It's not his game. Magic Johnson may not have looked that great in a 1-on-0 workout.
Ran out of breath 18
That's
minutes.
That's not that unusual. I'm told that 1-on-0 when you're constantly
an NBA player.
I'm told that, you know, it happens. I mean, I'm not saying it's common, but it happens. It's not going to stop you from drafting a kid. You know he can ball.
I'm confident Lakers will take him as well. I like what you said, Cowherd, about the business factor. There's a buzz about Lonzo. Yeah. He's the first college player to come into the NBA in a while with a buzz. Ben Simmons didn't have this, okay? He got injured and he missed the rookie year. I think Lonzo Ball is going to be the biggest rookie deal in the NBA this year. Much bigger than Markelle Fultz in Philly. Much bigger than De'Aaron Fox, whom I like. But the other aspect with the Lonzo Ball situation is he makes people better. At UCLA, he set attendance records, him showing up. He made that. He brought that team to 31 wins. I know that didn't end well, but Lonzo, a huge win for the Lakers. And, guys, last note. This NBA season, we saw a guy win the MVP, Russell Westbrook, being a ball hog, being, you know, triple-double, shucking. Lonzo Ball is the antithesis of that. He is a pass-first point guard. The league is going
to
love him.
They would love him to be Russell Westbrook.
LeVar Ball is smarter than you think. He really is. There's pressure now for the Lakers to draft Lonzo Ball. Like, there'll be disappointment.
Yeah.
Okay, why?
Don't you think there was more pressure 2 weeks ago? I'd say.
Yeah.
I still think the fans want him, but 2 weeks ago, before all these reports came out, fans were totally sold.
What if Lonzo's dad never said a word? Would there be the pressure?
No.
Nope.
No.
LeVar Ball.
The pressure on who?
The pressure is on Magic to draft that guy.
There's more pressure on Lonzo to back up his father's mouth.
There's both pressure on both
first
sides.
Lonzo can play. I talked to three people this weekend I trust. They all said, kid can play. So he knows that. He'll be fine.
You know they said the same thing about Anthony Bennett.
Nobody said that about that. Anthony.
There were people that said he could play.
D'Angelo Russell ship has sailed. He is not a point guard with the Lakers. He did not make anybody better. There is pressure, like you said, to find the heir apparent to Magic. They haven't had a point guard in L.A. What, Nick Van Exel was okay. Derek Fisher won some rings, but he was never a leader.
Okay.
Lonzo Ball is that heir apparent to Magic.
De'Aaron Fox has had workouts where people have said, wow. And Fultz has had them, wow.
Yeah.
There's not a single workout been done that anybody goes, Lonzo Ball, wow. Yet they're going to take him. That's because of some of the pressure.
He only worked out for one team so far. And then he leaked
out.
And
by the way, according to Doug Gottlieb, who's got good source with the Lakers, didn't blow anybody away with both.
No.
And they're going to take
it. He's going to look good. He makes players, as you said, better. He's going to look great in a 5-on-5 game, not 1-on-0.
This is the Speak for Yourself podcast featuring the best of Colin Cowherd and Jason Whitlock. I'm your host, Jason McIntyre. Guys, subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and SoundCloud. You know we're on social media. Hit us up. We get the hate, and we appreciate the compliments as well. Folks, if you missed me on the herd today, boy, it just gotten crazy. The Lakers better not screw this up. If they do not get Paul George right now, they can kiss him goodbye. Because, folks, remember, what LeBron James wants, LeBron James gets. And nobody leaves LeBron James. Talk to you tomorrow.